This summer, we continue a journey through the Psalms, and the psalm for today is Psalm 116. Listen. I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me, I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my congregation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your servant girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we spend the summer with the Psalms, it becomes clear that many of us have our favorite ones. The Psalms are well-polished prayer poems. Some of the verses sparkle like jewels, and the phrases lodge in our hearts. The Lord is my shepherd. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. I look to the hills. From whence will my help come? And maybe you are already reciting a favorite verse or even humming a song. So you can imagine how I perked up when I heard the psalm for today in a movie. The film was The Preacher's Wife, now many years old. It was a remake of the older movie called The Bishop's Wife. The Preacher's Wife was portrayed by Whitney Houston, and at a dramatic moment she sang, I love the Lord, he heard my cry. I sat straight up in my theater seat and exclaimed, Psalm 116. Then to my astonishment, I discovered that that setting of the psalm is published in our Presbyterian hymnal. It is a gospel song by Richard Smallwood. So at the very next opportunity, I selected the song to be sung by the congregation. They did not sound like Whitney Houston, but ever since, the words have been inscribed in my heart. And long before we ever sang it, the Jews sang it. Psalm 116 is one of the six psalms, the Hillel Psalms, which are sung or recited every year at Passover. And this one resonates with the drinking of the four cups of wine. We hear it in the text. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. So this is a psalm that Jesus knew very well. At his last supper with his friends, he lifted the cup of salvation and he called on the name of the Lord. And I promise you, the very next time we lift that cup together, we now have our scripture text. Yet did you notice, in between the professed love of the Lord and the lifting of the cup, there was somebody in a whole lot of trouble. And we do not know the particulars. The specific details have been sanded away in the scriptures. Yet three times the poet speaks of death. Death is close. Sheol, the shadow of death, hangs overhead as a threat. And the psalmist is not sure if the trouble is going to be survived. There was fear and terror, distress and anguish, and plenty of tears. So we must not rush past these things. The pain is real, whether it's the pain of the body or the trauma of the soul. Maybe the psalmist is reflecting on a disease or a physical illness or some other kind of threat. Let me ask you, have you ever wondered if you were going to die? I think of the Last Supper. Jesus breaks the Passover bread and hands it around the table. He lifts the cup, and then Judas Iscariot slips out to meet up with the thugs who will steal away our Lord. According to at least some of the accounts, Jesus knows in advance that he will die, and after he and others sing this psalm, they go out. They go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will pray, "Let this cup pass. If it is possible, don't let me die." As we well know, the prayer to be spared was not for him. Similarly, I have sat many times by the bedside of those who are in grave danger. The heart is not well. The breathing is labored. The surgery is risky. The illness seems to be winning. And no one should ever cheapen those kind of moments. It is not the time for joking around, and it would be vulgar to change the subject, because we're talking about the moments where we face the shadow of death. The only appropriate prayer is the prayer of this psalm, "O Lord, I pray, save my life." But then comes the astonishing answer, even if it is subtle or understated. The EMTs got there in time, or the surgery went well, or it looks like we got all the cancer cells. And relief comes with the recognition, I'm going to make it, at least this time. I'm going to actually get through this. So what we have today is a salvation psalm. This is salvation with a small s. On occasion, rare occasion, the Jewish scriptures will speak of the final salvation, where the wolf lies with the lamb, when the holy judgment of God will correct every injustice. There will be, scripture promises, a final day of the Lord when everything will be set right. And before that day ever comes, there are also these smaller salvations, important holy interventions, daily rescues, when the hidden and mysterious God is revealed not only to be righteous, but gracious and merciful. So this is the movement of this psalm. I was in trouble, I prayed, and God rescued me. I think the reason the psalm is in the Bible is to provide a signpost for the rest of us. As we travel through all the twists and turns of life's journey, here is a journey marker from somebody before us who got some help. And not a little bit of help, but some life-saving help. Now, we should not regard this as magic, namely that if you pray, God will automatically make everything better. It doesn't always work out that way, does it? We are creatures, mere mortals, with a limited amount of time and ability and strength. And this is a fact none of us ever outrun. Simply murmuring the words, "Lord, save my life," is no assurance that God will then undo all the other forces at work in his creation. Maybe you've noticed there are a lot of prayers that have not been answered, at least not yet. And sometimes we do run out of time before the prayers can be answered. But while prayer is not magic, it does lead us into the holy mystery of who God is and what God intends to do. Who is this God whom the psalmist loves? It is the God who provides the second chance. Not only is this the God who gave us our lives, this is the God who is able to give back our lives if something should threaten to take them away. This is the God we are still learning to love, who also calls us to love one another. And should we love God enough to pray for help, we are choosing to step into the profound mystery of how God continues to save the whole world. Now I know these are noble thoughts, and I was wondering how I might talk about them today, even describe them from a distance. And then I heard a story. Like the field report, which is recorded here in the psalm, is a story so good that it needs to be shared. This year, 2020, is the 100th anniversary of Dave Brubeck's birth. That's right, the great jazz musician who died 8 years ago, but his legacy continues both in the music world and in his own family. Four of his sons are musicians, and they planned a whole year this year of concerts around the world to celebrate Dave's centennial. That was before the coronavirus shut down the planet and canceled just about everything. But it seems three of Dave's sons were in London in early March playing sold-out shows at Ronnie Scott's renowned jazz club. They played 7 concerts in 5 days, and then they went on to tour in Europe after that. But by March 13th, Darius Brubeck, the oldest son, wasn't feeling well. His brothers Chris and Dan had already flown back to the U.S. They weren't feeling well either, and all three later tested positive for COVID-19. Chris ended up with a mild case in Connecticut, quarantined at home, and he has recovered. Dan had it worse and spent some time in an intensive care ward. He's getting better. Darius, the oldest, had it worst of all. He is 73 years old, and outside the U.S., he is well known as a composer and educator of some note. In fact, years ago, Darius co-founded a jazz school at a university in South Africa, which is the country where he met his wife, Catherine. Following his father's lead, he worked hard to bridge the gap between different kinds of people, different tribes of people, people of differing skin colors. And like his famous father, beginning there, the music he created was taken around the world. Yet by the middle of March, he was deathly ill. He says, "I resisted going to the hospital for 6 days, despite having a high fever and persistent cough. Big mistake," he said. He ended up on a ventilator for a month in an ICU of a British hospital. He was given a very slim chance of survival, and it was not only death he feared, he said, but the thought of never, ever seeing his wife ever again, not even in his hospital room. He said, "I developed a rather paranoid notion that Kathy wouldn't even know what happened to me." As he lay in his hospital bed, fearing the worst, Darius confesses he really didn't even know what was going on for a lot of that time. He faded in and out of consciousness in a facility where his family was not permitted to visit. But one memory got him through the long ordeal. What he remembered was a line from a song that his brother Chris had composed. It seems shortly before the hospitalization and before the three of them got sick, the brothers had performed this brand new piece for an orchestra and a choir in Freiburg, Switzerland. And even in his confused and sedated state, Darius said, "I kept my sanity by repeating, actually mentally singing the last line of the piece. Love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than death. He got better, off the ventilator, now at home recovering with his wife at their home in the south of England. And it's been hard. He continues on with his physical therapy while his wife suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder after nearly losing her husband. But both of them have been rescued from something that could have turned out a whole lot worse. God has given them another chapter in their lives. And this story, like some of our stories, resonates with the words of this psalm. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Have you ever been granted a second chance? I'm sure a lot of us have. And the best evidence of this will always be in what we do with it, with that gift we receive. The psalmist says, now that I'm back in the land of the living, I'm going to pay my vows to the Lord. I'm going to make my way back to the courts of the house of God. I need somebody to thank. So let me tell you what Darius and Kathy Brubeck have done. Now that they're starting to feel better, 20 of Darius's piano students, now professionals, have given a large concert in Durban, South Africa, where Darius taught for 25 years. And they're calling it a Thanksgiving concert in thanks to God for healing their beloved professor. And all the proceeds from that concert are supporting a home for the homeless in that city. And the motto of that center, connected to the cathedral, comes from the words of Jesus. I have come that all of you may have life, life in all its fullness. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the promise of the psalm. That's the shape of the Christian life. And it is how God's Spirit continues to move among us. I love the Lord, says the psalmist. God heard my cry. And when God does come to help, it is not enough then to keep that to ourselves. We show our thanks by loving those around us in their need. We love the Lord so that others can know that love too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.